Carlito's gay.
Hmm.
Remains of the gay. Tale of two titties. Against all bods. Ally McPheel. American hair pie. Anus and Andy.
Oh, God.
Ball in the family. Beverly Hills cock.
NYPD blue balls.
One blue over the poo-poo's nest.
Bitanic.
Everybody does Raymond.
Hardcore Sex in the City.
Guess who came at dinner? Honey, I blew everyone. Hump up the volume. Jungle Beaver. Missionary position impossible. There aren't tons of good ones.
Falling down on my cock. Jurassic fuck.
Mm. Womb Raider.
The firm dick.
The Da Vinci load. Evil head. The porn identity. Titty titty gangbang. Tits a wonderful life.
Schindler's Fist.
Schindler's Fist, there you go. The gay fuck club. Instead of joy luck club. I don't know about this.
Homeward bound and gagged and hardcore fucked.
Anus the menace.
Grumpy old men bang teen sluts.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Sex Trek, the next penetration. Here's a couple good ones. Napornian Dynamite. A Clockwork Orgy. Poonies. Playmate of the Apes.
Okay, I'm ready whenever you are.
I am. I've been ready. I thought this was the show.
No, no.
I mean, what are we doing?
Hey, you there?
Should I just do the intro? I'll just read it?
Sure.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners in Chicago and around the world, Windy City citizens and surrounding suburbanites, tech-savvy millennials and baby-booming Luddites, welcome to yet another very special The Game Show and Stuff. Live from somewhere in Chicago, but nowhere in particular, and available everywhere on the World Wide Web, it's The Game Show and Stuff. That's right, The Game Show and Stuff, a show with games and stuff. Music, comedy, variety, and more. News, reviews, interviews, now with 100% more profanity. Trivia games, guessing games, physical challenges, all on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Everybody, dance. And now a man who needs no introduction. Allow me to introduce your host, introducing Anderson Laufer.
Hey, Jazz.
Hey, what up, dude?
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
We don't have Johnny Moe with us this week.
That's a sad fact.
It is.
I'm missing him.
We are supposed to be hearing from Tom Guiry.
Uh-huh.
The guy who played Smalls in The Sandlot.
Yeah, everybody's favorite guy on The Sandlot.
Yeah, this is the 25th anniversary of The Sandlot, and
ooh.
So he's going to call in, and we were going to talk all about The Sandlot.
Yeah, because they're doing all this press stuff about it.
Yeah, so we're waiting to see if we hear from him. We talked this morning, and he said that he'd be willing to call in, but since then I've not heard from him, so uh-huh. I don't know if uh-huh. we're going to hear from him or not.
Okay.
So who knows?
We'll see.
So in the meantime, we are doing a bottle episode to save money.
Okay.
Do you know what a bottle episode is?
I don't believe I do. I didn't think we could do a bottle episode with you because you're on the wagon and
oh,
you don't
yeah.
drink anymore.
Very funny. A bottle episode is an episode of a TV show, generally,
mm-hmm.
where they're trying to save money because they spent much of their budget on Sweeps Week.
Oh.
Or on the first episode of the season.
Okay. So is it like just two people sitting at a table with a bottle of wine kind of thing?
A lot of times that's what it is.
Okay.
The etymology of the phrase originates with a similar term used in the 1960s on the set of Star Trek. Cast and crew members of the show used the phrase ship in a bottle episodes for those that took place only on board the USS Enterprise. So they didn't have to build any new sets. They didn't have to hire any new actors. The whole episode would take place in one place they already have.
Makes sense.
Bottle episodes are sometimes produced when a show has a mid-season cliffhanger or an expensive season opener or closer to allow as much of the budget as possible to go to the more expensive episodes.
I see.
The popularity of a Friends bottle episode, the one where no one is ready, led the producers to create at least one bottle episode in each season.
Interesting.
A lot of X-Files episodes ended up being bottle episodes because they spent all their money on alien ships and shit like that, you know?
That makes sense.
And there's some Doctor Who examples, some Breaking Bad. There's a Breaking Bad example of when Walt is chasing a fly around the lab.
The fly. Yeah, I love that episode,
and
actually.
And it's just him and Jesse together.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There's also a Sopranos episode where Chrissy and Polly and Big Pussy are in a car, and they're, like, stalking some... They're trying to find... They're following somebody.
Okay.
And it's just the three of them in the car the whole episode.
Sure, sure.
Anyway, so that's sort of the idea, so that's what we're doing.
All right. I didn't realize the sound effects cost us money, but now that I'm aware of that fact, we're going to be budgeting much more cautiously now.
Yeah, they do. They cost us hundreds of dollars a week.
Wow.
Luckily, they're paid for by our sponsors, the Radio Misfits.
Right.
And Radio Misfits gets paid by Tweaked Audio.
That's right.
And Jet's Pizza.
You know, life is short. Eat better pizza. Jet's Pizza.
And Tweaked Audio... If you need headphones, Tweaked Audio, Tweaked Audio.
Tweaked Audio.
30% off with the code GAMESHOW.
If you have audio and it needs tweaking,
Tweaked Audio. So we're doing a bottle episode to try to save some money. And since it's just us, we could really dig in deep into our relationship.
Yeah. This is going to be fascinating.
And the stories of the day.
I had so many things planned. It never fails that whenever I'm the most prepared for an episode, like if I've got the birthday shout-outs all written in advance, and if I've got, like, topics to discuss, and I've got my Chaka Khan idea all sussed out, invariably, I'm sick, you're sick, some sort of production meeting happens. Johnny Moe gets a job somewhere.
Right.
You know, like, and then we end up not doing that episode.
Yeah. Johnny Moe gets hired to bartend at Wisconsin somewhere or some shit, you know?
Ooh. That's where I would hit that one. I would hit that one. I'll just simulate all of our sound effects.
Hey, guys. I got a job in Orlando as a barista.
Ooh! Clap, 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 clap.
So that's where I'm going to be for the next 10 years.
Air horn.
Man, this week, I guess a couple weeks ago, I went to the Bulls minor league game.
Right.
You know, Chicago Bulls has a team called the Windy City Bulls.
Yeah.
And they're out in some suburb somewhere. I can't remember. Arlington Heights? Does that sound
right? So where do they play? Allstate Arena? Are they in Rosemont?
Maybe Rosemont. Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, I just used that Google Maps. That's the thing with Google Maps. Nobody fucking has any idea where you're actually going anymore. You just follow the blue line.
Yeah. And you just listen to the instructions.
Yeah. Take a left here. Take a right here. Go straight for 5 miles.
In 500 feet, turn left. Turn left now. Turn left. Turn left. It's like yelling at you the whole fucking time.
Anyway, so we went out to this Bulls game, and I won a couple raffles.
Ooh.
But by the time I went to claim my reward at the raffle, they'd given out all the good prizes.
Okay.
Like, they had too many raffle winners.
Oh, no.
So they gave me coupons for free Papa John's pizza.
Ooh.
Papa John's pizza. I don't know if you know anything about Papa John's pizza. It's fucking garbage.
Yeah, I try not to know anything about
it. Oh, my God. So last night, I got home. I had to work late, and I got home, and I was like, oh, we don't have anything to eat here. And then I looked on the fridge, and there is this coupon for
shaboom,
the pizza.
Shaboom,
shaboom. So I ordered Papa John's pizza for the first time in, let's say, 10 years.
Okay.
And it shows up, I eat a piece of it, and immediately I get, like, fucking crazy acid in the
heartburn, yeah, I know.
And I can't sleep, and I'm like up and down the line. I was like, oh, that's why I never eat this.
Yeah, huh?
And then
it's like rancid tomato sauce or something that they use.
It's like has more sugar than cereal, and like breakfast cereal.
Concrete for crust.
So I was up literally all night long.
Oh man, that sucks.
With this fucking
that's what I would hit there.
With his heartburn.
Yeah.
And it's so bad that you're like kind of throwing up a little bit from the heartburn. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. I'm experiencing a little of that right now.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, just from hearing about it and reliving the fact that I happened to eat a piece of Domino's pizza today.
Oh, so you know.
I'm empathizing with you wholeheartedly. Wholeheartburnedly.
So
ba-dump-dumps.
I got home today from work, and I was racing over here, and I looked in the fridge, and what was there besides the rest of this fucking Papa John's pizza? And I was like, what harm could it do?
Oh,
it won't
no.
do it 2 days in a row. And I swear to God, I took one fucking bite of this pizza. And I have this heartburn again.
I got some mints on the table there for you, buddy. That'll help
settle
your tummy.
I saw the blue bottle of...
Yeah, there's some Tums over there, too, bro. In fact, it just fell off of the thing right behind your computer.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, rock that shit, homie. Yeah.
Tums smoothies. Anyway, I've had the past week, I've had this serious, like, fear of having a heart attack.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
I don't think I'm going to have a heart attack. I mean, I exercise. I'm overweight, you know, uh-huh. but I'm not, like, insanely overweight.
No, not insanely.
Thank you.
Grossly. Not insanely.
So I've been like, I don't know. I haven't like had any heart issues, you know.
Okay.
Except I went to see the John Krasinski movie, and my left arm fell asleep in the theater.
Ooh.
And I was like, I'm going to have a heart attack right here in this fucking movie theater. And it's so quiet in this movie.
Right.
It's called A Quiet
Place.
A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's too quiet. I'm going to have a heart attack, and I'm going to be like, excuse me. You know, like making all the heart attack sounds and shit.
Is that what happens during a heart attack? Flatulence?
I don't know. So anyway, my arm fell asleep, and then I burped, and I was like, is gas a sign of heart attack? I was like, I need to check Google for the answers, and then I couldn't, like, I was like, I can't turn my phone on in this movie.
No, it's too quiet in that place.
So... for the rest of the day, I was like, I'm going to have a heart attack today.
Oh, God. Those are the worst bouts of paranoia.
Yeah, but then you can't tell the people you're with because you know it's irrational.
Yeah, irrational medical fears. Ugh.
Does everyone have irrational medical fears?
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Absolutely. Sure. Occasionally. I mean, and they're usually very fleeting, but mm-hmm. yeah, they happen. I think they happen to everybody. Just like, honestly... not to get all morbid about it, just like the way people have those flashes of like suicidal thoughts and weird shit like that, or like just whatever, running away from it all, or these weird things that, you know, people don't typically do and people rarely discuss, but I think everyone feels those things from time to time, and some people have them recurringly and those become problems, and some people just have them naturally and then they kind of, you know, slide
move on.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I've had some moments where I was like, you know, is this tightness in my chest something I need to worry about? I still haven't had my rectal exam. Do I need to go have a doctor stick his finger up my ass so I know I'm not dying?
Yeah.
You know, like,
do you
do I what have
do you
a
need
fear
to have
that?
A prostate
yeah
exam?
I still haven't had a prostate exam. But I'm pretty healthy. I'm not worried about it. Honestly, I feel this way about all cancer. I don't need to know. If I got
You'll
it.
You'll know eventually.
Yeah, exactly. If I got it, I would try to live as though I didn't have it anyway. You know what I mean? So, like,
yeah,
I might
then,
as well just not know.
But then, I mean, I see your logic. But I'll raise you.
Okay, go.
If you did know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they could fix it, and then you truly would not have it anyway.
instead of psychologically
yeah,
not having
just,
it.
Like slowly walking into the ocean of cancer, which is what your plan is.
Right, exactly. But see, and that, I guess you're right, because what all that does, is if you try to play ignorant to it, that just fuels the paranoia. Because then, like, every little thing that happens, you're like, maybe that's it.
Yeah, now I have ass cancer. Right, exactly. I wipe too hard. That's right. I'm totally going to have ass
cancer. Is this tightness in my chest ass cancer?
It could be.
It could be. It's all connected, bro.
It's true, man. It's totally the fucking worst feeling, though.
It's all connected, bro. Speaking of bro, real quick aside, you know, we live in this time of heightened sensitivity and all of these gender issues that we've joked about in the past. But I had this really funny thought today, and I don't quite know what to do with it yet, but I got to do something with it. And it basically just boiled down to the fact that we have all of these kids in our school where I work.
Right.
Who have these gender issues and are addressing them and are, you know, being sure to assert the pronouns that they want and, you know, express themselves in the fashions and everything that they want.
Yeah.
And everybody's so hung up on whether or not they're a boy or a girl or a them or a they, but everybody just calls each other bro. All of them.
Yeah. Bruh.
Bro. Seriously, I heard a group of girls, one of whom is a transgendered person.
Who's a dude first?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All just calling each other bro. Bro, bro, bro. And I'm like,
bro doesn't mean what it used to mean to us.
No, it doesn't. And that's fine. But it's like, if it doesn't mean that much, then why is it also important? I don't know. Just a strange, fleeting thought, much like my
cancerous
worries about my ass cancer when I have heart pains.
It is true, though, man.
It's weirdness. Anyway.
What else do you worry about? Do you worry about, like...
I mean, I have more... I have other irrational fears. I have irrational fears of, like... And this is long predates all these weird sort of, like, pseudo-terror incidents that have happened over the past couple years. But I've always had an irrational fear of being struck by an out-of-control motor vehicle while standing on a busy street corner.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm really, like, I don't ever stop looking to see, like, what's happening around me. Like, I don't kind of bop, you know, I'll have my headphones on sometimes and be bopping along. But then, like, when I get to the corner, man, I'm, like, hawking everything because, you know, people are crazy and reckless. And I do not want to die while walking to the grocery store.
Right.
Listening to a Miles Davis album.
Yeah.
So that's one. I've also, for no real reason, well, no, I guess I shouldn't say for no real reason, but I've always had a weird fear that, like, I was going to get, you know, catch a stray bullet in some sort of incident, you know, like where there was shooting happening.
Yeah.
So those are two of my irrational fears. They're not health issues
related.
But they are death related.
Yeah. I think anything where it's like the chances of it actually happening to you are like one in it like so minuscule,
right,
that it makes it an irrational fear.
Mm-hmm.
But it still makes your heart beat fast and all that shit, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah, no, you get anxiety about it, and then that probably shortens your lifespan in and of itself.
Yeah. Which brings me to the point you were making about the future fantasy fears.
Yes.
Of running away from everything.
Right.
Right? Do you do that all the time?
No, not all the time. I've only had a few of those in my life. They only come along every couple of few years, maybe.
Usually for me, it's like when I'm not in a good place with being sober or something,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Sure.
Where I'm like, now's the time, like, I'll just think, like, wouldn't this all be so much easier if I just fucking left this place and moved to some small town in Mississippi and, like,
right.
lived in some weird little house, you know?
Sure.
And then I wouldn't know anyone, and I wouldn't ever talk to anyone again, you know?
That sounds fun.
It does. It does, occasionally, you know? But they never, like, involve, like, using drugs or drinking,
right.
like any of my future fantasies.
Sure.
But I know that's the time to be like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
For some reason, I want to, like, escape from everything.
Right. Think twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's funny. I have those moments when I think, when I hear about people who, you know, change their lifestyles drastically. I mean, I'm obviously a collector, and I like stuff, and my stuff has stories and history, and I like to surround myself with those things. And, you know, you hear about people who sell everything and move to Mexico or whatever they do, wherever they move. And it sounds appealing and exciting.
Yeah, to be like free of everything.
Yeah, but then I think it just creates even more of a. I think it would just create a different kind of vacuum, wouldn't it? I mean, it would just create. It would be satisfying for a while, and then I think you would just like have like the reverse longing, like the homesickness, right? Like you would just want to go back.
It would be like constant regret.
Mm-hmm.
When we went to see, Jazz and I went to see Dylan's show on Friday night.
Yeah.
Dylan was the guy on the show last week, if you listened.
Yeah, hopefully you did.
Dylan McGordy. Anyway, he does a sketch comedy show, and it was fun.
It was. The Uploose Auditorium.
Yeah.
I can't even say it right.
The Prop Theater.
It's so many puns in it.
Instead second Friday of the month at 10:30.
That's right, Prop Theater. Uploose Auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not uptight. Oh, no. And it's not an auditorium. It's an odditorium.
Right.
So you know it's going to be loose and odd.
And up and torium. So when we went to see that, I was like, what if I stop doing everything I'm working on, all my projects, and just write sketches for Dylan? Like, that's an example of my fantasies.
Sure, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I
have so much stuff that I've written, and I know you've got a ton of stuff that you've written, and you said you unearthed that crazy High School USA video that we started to do. You got to give me that footage, dude, because that's going
to
be...
I'll give it to you tonight.
That's going to be brilliant. But, you know, that's the stuff that I really want to do. That's the reason, I think, why when we got the studio space at Straw Dog Theater, both you and I decided to sort of branch off from the main stage and focus on this studio incubator project.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's ultimately what I really want to do. I think, you know, we've talked about this before too, how like it took me almost my entire life to realize that all I really wanted to do from the time I was a kid was like be on Saturday Night Live, right? Like
right.
That's really what I wanted to do. I never saw a path to that. I saw all of these different things to do, and I got caught up in, ooh, I want to do improv. Ooh, I want to do Shakespeare. Ooh, I want to do movies. Ooh, I want to do commercials. Ooh, I want to do voiceover. And, you know, you just, next thing you know, it's fucking 20 years later, you know?
Yeah.
It's
you
crazy.
You haven't done any of them very good.
No, I haven't. That's the thing that's frustrating.
You've done a lot of stuff okay.
Yeah.
And nothing great.
Yeah. And I'm okay. It's interesting that we're transitioning to this, too, because my Shaka Khan for today, even though we're not doing segments, was I'm really glad that my life has turned out the way it has. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
for as many, you know, better decisions as I might have made, for as many failures as I might have, you know, walked myself into, or, you know, not even blindly, but just like willingly, like, you know, decided, no, I'm going to do it. You know, like,
yeah.
For all of those things, I'm really glad with where I am. I'll tell you the reason. The catalyst for that thought was there's a kid at school who's been coming to me and asking me about acting and monologues and auditioning and agents. And, you know, he's just like asking me all this stuff. And so I gave him like what I wrapped it up, and I wrote on it, it's the Serious Actor Starter Kit. And I gave him that book, Audition, by Michael Shurtleff.
Right.
I gave him a book of monologues for young actors and a book of scenes for two actors. And I was like, you don't have to read all of these books, but you need to read over these books. You need to get familiar with all these concepts. You need to learn about plays. You need to learn about characters. You need to, you know, learn to read, learn to like reading and absorbing information, you know, and all that stuff. And, you know, he wants to be, you know, I mean, literally this kid was like, I'm going to be the best actor in the world. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I see that and I'm like, I don't think I ever said that, but I think we all thought that and we wanted that and we all expected things when we got out of high school and we got out of college and then we got to real life and we're like still thinking that something big is going to happen. And I'm honestly glad nothing big ever happened. You know what I mean? Like I had two big opportunities early in my career that could have made me, you know, not a child star, but like a young star, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the first one was I auditioned for the part of the son in A Bronx Tale, which is another movie celebrating its 25th anniversary this year, interestingly enough. And then I auditioned for the part of the brother in Clueless with Alicia Silverstone. So I could have either worked with Robert De Niro if I wasn't like 7 inches taller than him. And that dude ended up going to jail for some shit. Or I could have done Clueless and
been
had
Paul Rudd's
career.
Yeah, you could have been Paul Rudd.
I could have been Ant-Man and all of the other great stuff that he's done. But I'm actually grateful for the path that I've taken because I think that I'm going to have much better stories to tell for it. And I don't mind the idea of being a late bloomer. I was always kind of a late bloomer, so I feel like my greatest successes might be on the horizon.
Uh-huh.
And I think it lies, honestly, this is another reason why what you said triggered this thought, is that I've been building up this material like since I was in high school, basically. You know what I mean? Like, I've been writing and mulling over things. I mean, it took me 20 years to do my one-man show, and now that wasn't like a huge commercial success, but like, it's a good piece, and I'm really proud of it, and I did a lot of good things with it, and, you know, I'm happy as hell that I'd made something that nobody else in the world could ever make, and that's the kind of stuff that I want to continue to do. You know what I'm saying? So,
sure. Anyway,
so... So yeah, man, I think that's a good impulse in you to think, you know, I want to make more stuff and I want to, you know, put more original shit out in the world and, you know, do all the quirky, odd things that, you know, that nobody else is doing.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah,
time
we'll see.
Will tell.
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, and you know, you talk about stopping, you know, or discontinuing your other projects and all this other stuff. I mean, look, dude, there's not a day that goes by that, for as much as I love my job, that I don't wish I was spending all of my time at home working on my own ideas and my own projects and working on my own everything, because, you know, that's what I've always wanted to do. And even though I'm content to be a late bloomer, I got to get that shit done in my lifetime. You know what I mean? That's what I'm here for.
I think it's safe to say that we're Renaissance dudes. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that. Some people would take that to mean that we are good at lots of things.
Yeah.
But the reason I mean it is that we like to try all sorts of different things.
Absolutely. I don't even have to be good at it.
Have you ever had friends? I have some of my friends from high school who are like, they seem anyway perfectly content, like working at one place every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just could never do that.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. I'm still amazed that I've been able to stay with this job for as long as I have.
Dude, like, my biggest fear is working in a cubicle.
Ugh. Yeah.
Besides the heart attack and stroke and all that other stuff.
Ass cancer. And working in a cubicle, that'll get you some ass cancer.
Oh, my God, dude.
Without a doubt. Yeah, that's no fun. That's no fun.
But I do like looking at computer screens, but not for stuff I don't want to be looking at, you know?
Sure. Yeah, I don't mind computers that much.
Like, could you imagine if you worked in front of a computer and you had to, like, work on something you didn't want to do, at the same time you knew you could, like, open a whole bunch of tabs and just do a whole bunch of nothing?
Sure. Crossword puzzles.
Yeah.
Porn. All that stuff.
Baseball scores.
Mm-hmm.
Memes.
Oh, memes up the wazoo.
It'd be a fucking meme paradise. I'd be like printing them out, covering my
covering
cubicle,
my
in,
cubicle
memes.
In memes.
Paper memes.
Paper memes.
Good band name.
Dude, yeah. That should be our first comedy album.
You want a news story?
Sure. Although, before we go to the news story, I've been meaning to say, we should work on a two-man comedy thing, like a Smothers Brothers type thing, or like a Tom Dreesen and Tim Reed. I mean, neither one of us is black. But, you know, but like a two-man comedy thing, and figure out how to take this show on the road, dude, because, you know, I'm tired of floundering. You know, and not that we floundered. I shouldn't, you know, like I said, I'm happy how my life has gone.
Right.
And I think that the fact that we focused on doing offbeat stuff, is, you know, it's been one of the best parts of my creative life, in all honesty. In fact, that reminds me, thank you for your little, your funny caption on your Twitter photo the other day when you, tweeted out that picture from Dylan's show.
Oh, what did I write?
You were like seeing a show with my comedy life partner or something. And I was like genuinely touched. I thought that was really sweet.
That's what I always imagine like angry lesbians call each other, you know?
Their life partners.
Yeah, because they're like, don't want to say wife anymore, but right. They're like, this fucking lady I'm stuck with the rest of my life. You know?
And they can't say ball and chain because that's too, like, misogynistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought that was really sweet. And it just further, it actually made me think again, like, yeah, man, we should be doing more comedy stuff that isn't just this, isn't just the game show. You know, maybe we need to sit down one day and, you know, maybe even just do what we're doing right now, but, like, talk through some ideas, you know, fucking, you know, start streamlining some scripts and getting some shit down, man. Let's make some shit happen.
Yeah, or we can run away from everything and just do
Dylan's sketch show. But we should go to San Diego like we always wanted to do.
Dude, I'm telling you, Dylan's sketch show. I don't know how far in the show the recording dropped out here in our show right now.
Oh, right.
So I don't know if we talked
about
it.
Yeah, we did.
Dylan's
show. That's how we got to this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dylan's show... When I was watching it, this is like where I am in my life right now. I'm totally the kind of person where I was like, if Dylan stayed and a couple of those broads stayed, we could kick everyone else out and we could fucking totally take over this show.
Yeah, how do we steal
other people's things?
Yeah, commandeer this show.
Yeah.
All we need to do is keep Dylan, maybe one or two of the chicks, change the name, change the venue, same show.
But everything else in my career I will throw away to steal Dylan's sketch show at the Prop Theater. The career I've been working on for 15 years, I'll throw in the garbage.
That's
just
right.
To write sketches about millennials.
Yeah, or just all the sketches we got. Don't you got a million sketches?
I do.
Didn't we? I don't know if we talked about this High School USA thing, man. But we need to reopen the think tank and start making some more funny videos, bro.
There was something. Let me see if I can find it real fast. Hang on.
Sure. I mean, I'm telling you, dude. Those two videos that we made, even though they could both probably be edited a little bit and maybe remixed for the new. The new generation or whatever. But like, goddamn, man, we did some funny stuff.
Yes, we did.
I think we need to do more. Especially because, you know, Lord knows who's listening to this.
Man, so I wrote this.
It's not my mom.
No.
That's
somebody is.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was just looking through. I found, like, tons of these old sketches that I wrote for some reason.
All right.
Anyway, I have tons of them.
Okay.
I'm not going to read them. But...
Oh, you made me wait.
I know.
You just had awkward silences.
I was going to read it, and then I was like, oh, first of all, it's really personal for some reason. And it's like...
Okay.
It makes no fucking sense.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-dum.
Anyway, you ready for a news story?
Yeah, dude, hit me with some news.
You may think that using a hand dryer in a public bathroom is a far more sustainable and hygienic method of drying your hands than using hand towels.
I may.
You're always saying that.
Yeah, I live by it.
On the contrary, though.
No.
A recent study has uncovered the disturbing truth that doing so could actually be spreading human waste bacteria far and wide.
Oh.
Jazz has this thing wherever you, if you're in a room where somebody farts, Jazz is like, I'm breathing your poop. He gets so mad about it.
Well, this is the thing. At one point in my life, somebody
pointed out. He sure gets mad about it for a guy who farts in rooms a lot.
I fart a lot, and I don't mind that people fart, but it is disturbing to me to think that, like I said, at some point in my life, someone pointed out that scents are really just microscopic particles of the actual thing. And so when someone farts, it's like there's shit vapor in the air. And you have got shit, you've got fecal matter, microscopic fecal matter on your olfactory senses and ultimately inside of your lungs. So, I mean, basically, I thought it was funny and I wrote it into a script for one of the sketches that we'll never do, where basically the guy's like, you just shat in my lungs.
Yeah, you because shit in my lungs. That's like what you always say.
Yeah, he's like a germaphobe, you know? I mean, that's not really me, but it's a funny thing to say.
Yeah. Well, Jazz.
Yes.
Researchers from the University of Connecticut recently conducted a study to determine the extent to which hand dryers spray harmful bacteria when used. Everyone knows that it's common decency to close the toilet lid after you've been to the bathroom.
True.
However, it's also a matter of basic human hygiene. Uh-huh. When a toilet is flushed with the lid open, this causes toilet plume. When this occurs, it's like a mushroom cloud of
fecal microscopic particles.
Microscopic particles of human waste can then be propelled into the air.
Ugh.
That's not the worst of it, as these particles can then be sucked up into hand dryers before being expelled again with the hot air.
Whoa.
They used plates to collect the bacteria emitted from the hand dryers, and the results will undoubtedly leave an unpleasant feeling in the pit of your stomach.
Ugh.
The plates that were exposed to hand dryer air for 30 seconds collected approximately 60 colonies of bacteria.
Whoa!
While the plates that were simply placed in a bathroom while a fan redistributed air for 20 minutes collected an average of 20 colonies of bacteria.
Wow! So it's like a shit colony microwave. Yeah, it's just like...
It's like steroids for shit colonies.
Oh my God!
Just think about that.
I don't want to think about that.
Next time you leave a bathroom in your like new Sunday suit, your tie is covered in shit colonies.
As well as the inside of your lungs.
Yeah. So.
Oh my gosh.
Luckily, we're human beings that have immune systems.
True.
And so going into places with other people is okay.
Yeah.
And that's just part of the deal.
But I just, oh man, it makes me think of all the hand dryers. There's so many hand dryers now. There's so few places you can actually use a paper towel to dry your hands.
I wonder if, like, do you ever, like, fantasize about some famous person from, like, hundreds of years ago coming back and you being their guide?
Wow. Not yet, but I will from now on.
I do all the time.
Okay.
I think about, like, if George Washington came back or something, you know?
President Washington!
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Hey, dude! Want some pizza, bro?
Let me show you pizza Chicago style.
This is what shaking hands is like. And then we moved on to high fives. Check out this rollerblading. Like, all that stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway. But I think George Washington, if he came back, would die immediately because his body is not used to all the shit colonies that our bodies are used to.
You're right.
He'd go into a public bathroom and just his body would melt from shit colonies.
Probably. It'd be like that scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark. He would just be like, blah! He would just disintegrate.
And be like, sorry, dude.
Yeah, that's there's a sketch we need to do.
Sorry about all the foreign people shit that you're not used to.
Can we do like all of your Chicago architecture tours, but you're giving them to famous people who've come back from the past? That'd be great.
Check it out, Mr. Frederick Douglass.
Hey, Pablo Picasso, you want to see what your statue looks like in front of this stupid government building in our city?
Whoa, cool, man. This is what a high five is.
That's right. Now you can taste a Chicago-style hot dog with sport peppers.
Mr. Alexander the Great.
Whoa, whoa, Genghis Khan, that's not how we treat ladies here in modern-day Chicago.
Yeah, no raping allowed, bro. Apologies.
Oh, this is comedy gold, Anderson. Comedy gold!
It'd be like Bill and Ted, except with a 40-year-old dude.
Yeah. And just like, and all of the famous people are dead by the end of the tour.
Yeah, from shit colony.
They're just back to being dead. And you've got to bury them somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
What do I do with this deceased time traveler?
I'm going to have to throw them in these elevator shafts.
Oh, my gosh. What's the jewelry building? The
jeweler's building.
The jeweler's building, yeah. The jeweler's building has the most amazing elevator shafts. You're going to be buried there by the end of this tour.
Yeah. Want a Kleenex? It won't help you. Hand sanitizer will burn your skin.
That's right. And actually, these sport peppers will corrode your wooden teeth, George Washington.
Sorry, bro. You didn't have any of this stuff. All you ate was like turkeys and eagles and shit.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Oh, that's funny. See, we got to do this, man.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Let's do some birthday shout-outs.
September 15th.
January 21st.
And April 10th was my mom's birthday last week. We had a lot of good birthday shout-outs last week.
First of all, happy birthday to my brother, Lance Laufer.
Hey, Lance, happy birthday to you, too.
About to be deployed to Afghanistan to save our country.
He's going back in action. God save us all.
But it's a great day to be
a dude with money skills.
A dude with writing skills.
A dude with acting skills.
Or D, all of the above.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, J.P. Morgan.
General Electric, U.S. Steel, International Harvester, AT&T. You built all those companies, and they're still standing today.
The only guy who ever scoffed at your fortune was John D. Rockefeller, but that guy was a dickhead.
He was. A man always has two reasons for doing anything. A good reason, and the real reason. That's a quote from you. You said it, you dickhead.
Happy birthday to another famous dickhead, Thornton Wilder.
The Bridge of San Luis Rey. Our town, skin of our teeth. The eighth day. You wrote good shit, bro.
You won 3 Pulitzer Prizes, a National Book Award, and World War II, and was in World War II as a lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force. Fucking A right, dickhead.
Fucking A USA right, buddy. Well, it's a good thing that David Cromer did your play, Our Town. Otherwise, it would still only be high schools doing it. Rock on, dickhead.
Happy birthday, William Holden Dick.
Sunset Boulevard, Bridge Over the River Kwai, Wild Bunch, Picnic, Network. What a career, dude.
A winner on both the silver screen and the boob tube. You bagged a You bagged a Best Actor Oscar for Stalag 17.
Stalag 17.
And a Lead Actor Emmy for The Blue Knight.
The Blue Knight.
Plus you bagged Audrey Hepburn and Stephanie Powers.
And you banged that hot French actress Capuchin. Who'd have thunk a kid from Fallon, Illinois? Would make the American Film Institute's list of top 25 greatest male stars of classic Hollywood cinema and bang all those hot bitches.
With your dickhead.
Oh, man.
And let's not forget.
Oh, let's not forget the real inventor of baseball, Alexander Cartwright.
Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev.
Legend of Chicago Cubs baseball, Cap Anson.
Legend of ventriloquism, Senora Wences.
Yes, American journalism royalty, Harry Reisner.
World wrestling royalty, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
And also born today,
Bill Murray's other brother, Joel.
Jennifer Garner of Alias Mrs. Affleck.
Decent quarterback, awful commentator, and terrible human being, Boonimer Esiason.
And today's birthday shout-out band is...
On Chicago indie rock guitar, Liz Phair.
On keys, Czech composer, Jan Hammer, pronounced Jan Hammer.
On cello, perhaps the greatest string player of all time, Gregor Piatigorsky.
With art rock vocals by Maynard James Keenan of Tool.
British rockabilly stylings by Billy Fury.
And Brick City Funk Freestyles by the Funk Dr. Spock, Redman.
Dance Hall Toastings by Sizzlas.
Sizzla, you know he's got 56 albums, Sizzla does. That's a prolific 56? Dude. Yeah, for real. Brit teen pop vocals by Victoria Beckham, a.k.a. Posh Spice.
Songs composed by Don Kirshner of the Monkees and Kansas.
Hey, hey, we're the dust in the wind. That was terrible.
If you've got a birthday shout-out, drop us a line and stuff at RadioMisfits.com.
Birthday shout-outs are made possible by Today in History, an application developed by Downshift Interactive and available online for free.
Visit the App Store and Google Play for information.
There are usually 365 days in the year. There are about 7 billion people in the world, and that means there are 19,178,000 birthdays being celebrated every fucking day.
Every goddamn day.
We squeezed in about 24 of them on average here on birthday shout-outs on the game show and stuff. That's my favorite fact, incidentally. I think I've mentioned this to you before. Knowing that there are 19,178,000 birthdays every day, because when kids come into school and they're all like, it's my birthday, I can do whatever I want, I'm like, no, you're not that special. There's 19,178,000 other people doing the same
thing.
Yeah,
fuck you.
Yeah, so piss off.
Plus, you're just a kid and you're not special anyway. Even if it was only your birthday.
Right.
You're not a George Washington type.
Yeah, no.
Oh, I'm just reading now. Barbara Bush died.
Oh.
She was bad. Somebody liked her.
Yeah, she wasn't bad. You know, she had the whole Say No to Drugs thing. Oh, that was Nancy Reagan started Say No to Drugs.
Yeah, yeah. She did something.
Babs, she followed up on the same tip, didn't she? That was her pet project.
I don't know.
These first ladies and their pet projects. Well, that's kind of sad. But yeah, man. You know.
Okay.
That's life. It's the circle of life.
Well, sorry, Barbara Bush.
Yeah.
Sorry you died on April 17th.
Yeah.
As good a day as any, I guess.
That's right. It sure is.
It's enough time out before Christmas comes, so your family won't be, like, super shocked and saddened if it was, like, December, you know, beginning of December.
Right.
You know? And it's far enough away from Thanksgiving, so your family won't be saddened then either.
Right.
They'll have a little preparation.
Yeah.
And it's before summer, so that, you know, the family doesn't have to spend all summer wondering if you're going to die. You know, inside when they could be outside.
Sure.
Enjoying the summer.
Yeah, they're just going to go out and enjoy the goddamn
summer. So actually, this is like a perfect time to die.
I guess so.
So, it's not bad, Barbara
Bush.
Yeah,
not bad. That's not bad. I wonder what day has the most deaths on it.
Most deaths. Let me look it up. Hold on. Want to take a guess?
Let's see. I'm going to guess it's sometime in winter. I bet you it's between Thanksgiving and Christmas, because that's when the most suicides are.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm going to say December 1st. That's going to be my guess.
The day of the year you're most likely to die of natural death.
Okay.
That's what we're most interested in, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Or just when the most deaths occur. Do suicides not count then?
Suicides don't count as natural deaths,
right.
I don't think.
Okay, sure. No, they don't. Okay, interesting. All right, go ahead.
Over 25 years, from 1979 to 2004, 57 million deaths from natural causes.
Uh-huh.
The peak day... Now, this is all because of seasonal cold weather and wintry illnesses.
Uh-huh.
Influenza.
Oh, maybe it's in February.
Other
December 1st or February 1st? Those are my two guesses.
It is January 1st.
Wow. New Year's Day.
New Year's Day is the most natural deaths.
Wow.
On New Year's Day.
That's really interesting. That's like some cosmic shit right there, bro.
Yeah. Crazy. It peaks. So it goes up all around there. So it's like, you know, July it's lower, and then June it's lower. And then it's like, if you take like July 1st and June 30th, and you put them on like a line chart, it's like it like rises like a mountain.
Oh wow!
To January 1st. Interesting. That's the very top point.
Wow, that's crazy. We learned before that the day with the most births was, or the time with the most births was what, between the middle of September
14th and September 30th.
Right. My birthday is September 15th. I've always speculated that I was a New Year's conception.
Yeah, we probably were.
I think that's
or they met on New Year's and then fucked like 2 days later.
Yeah, or who knows? No, my parents were already together. Yeah. But even still.
You're probably too drunk on New Year's.
Not necessarily. I don't know. My folks both could they could hold their liquor.
You think they were doing a little blow? Took some Molly?
Yeah, they invented Molly back in 1971. They were
fucking sucking on some Tweety Birds and Mitsubishis.
That's right.
They were in a deep K-hole.
What? What's a Mitsubishi? What the hell is that? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's like ecstasy pills used to have a Mitsubishi logo on them, and that's who you knew. Like, they were from this one drug dealer that made Mitsubishis. And then some of them, you'd buy them, and they had a little Tweety Bird. You know, Tweety Bird from
Yeah, I know what Tweety Bird is, but I, why, what does Mitsubishi have to... I don't even know what the Mitsubishi looks like, honestly.
The Mitsubishi logo? Yeah, it's like three little diamonds.
I'm looking it up. Oh, I thought that was Subaru.
No, Subaru looks like stars in a circle.
I see. Yeah, it's got the triangle thing with the little arrows.
I remember when I used to work at a dance club in New York, I'd be like, give me some of those Mitsubishis.
Air horn.
And then I'd be like, oh, I love this song.
I can feel the music inside me.
Oh, my God, the music is in my asshole.
It's in my lungs.
Somebody turned on the hand dryer and blew the music colonies all over my body.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I hope I don't get ass cancer. Oh, man.
Anyway.
Yeah, we got a lot of work to do, buddy.
Well, let's get out of here.
All right. I'm down with that. I think we had a good day. I think maybe we should do these bottle episodes more often.
Yeah, maybe Tommy will join us next week.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
I think it'll be okay.
That'd be fine. Yeah, it's still the 25th anniversary of Sandlot. And
yeah,
so,
for the whole year.
It'll be apropos. We don't have to do it on the day it was released.
Yeah.
Skip all that. But yeah, as far as episodes go, this was fun. You know, maybe we should tell Johnny Mo to stay home next time. I'm just kidding, Johnny Mo. We miss you.
Hurry back, Johnny.
Hurry back, Johnny, from your job or your Hapkido or...
whatever the fuck.
You're soul searching.
Yeah, whatever kind of thing you're doing.
Oh, Johnny Mo, Johnny Mo.
Okay, Jazz.
All right, Anderson, I will see you next Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Air horn.